Great to have you along on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. We're going to start the show by taking a look at the stars and what's going on in the night sky with Paul Kinzer. Paul is the author of Stargazing Basics, Getting Started in Recreational Astronomy. He's an active member of the La Crosse Area Astronomy Club and has come by every so often to talk with us about the night sky. Great to have him along, and certainly if you have questions, maybe you're an amateur astronomer, or maybe you just like looking at the night sky. What fascinates you? Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org, or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You can post a question or comment or even a photo. Maybe you've got a night sky photo or a sky photo you want to share. You can do that right there. Paul, great to have you back.
Oh, it's good to be here.
There are a couple of sunspots this past week.
Not too long ago, coming around the limb of the sun as it rotates, takes a few weeks to spin around. A very large grouping of sunspots came out and right away spit out a lot of energy headed right towards Earth, and it's caused some northern lights. These spots are so bright that people are just taking pictures of sunsets, and you can actually see the sunspots in the sunsets.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. So,
and that's going to be going on for
a week or 10 days yet.
Another week or 10 days. Well, there's certainly not a lot going on. There's a supernova visible through binoculars, really.
Yeah, it's kind of dimmed a bit, so you'd need some pretty big binoculars to see it, but a small telescope will show you. It just looks like a very dim star, but you'd have to recall as you're seeing it that it's many, many thousands of times farther away than any stars we can see in our own galaxy. It's a star that exploded in the Pinwheel Galaxy, also called M101. I saw it the other night, and I wasn't absolutely sure, is that it, or is it that one over there? But I knew that I was looking through an instrument big enough to see it, and so I knew it was there, and I knew I was looking at an exploding star 21 million light years away.
Man.
Yeah. It's also fairly easy to find if you can find the Big Dipper and look at the two stars in the end of the handle away from the bowl. And just go up, use those two stars as the bottom of an equilateral triangle, and you'll be looking at it.
Would you see something like that, or would something like that show up on one of the apps, the stargazing?
Yes, app? I'm sure there are lots of apps that'll show that to you. I have to admit, I don't own a smartphone, so I'm not up on the apps so much. But almost anything that you can do on the internet, you can now do with a simple app. And there are many places you could go if you just wrote supernova, M101, or pinwheel. It'd show you. You'd find a place to look for it right away.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. We've got a comment. What is it? How is it pronounced? Gerard?
I think it's Gerard, but I'm not sure. It might even be Garad.
Yeah, it could be, guys, because it's G-A-R-R-A-D?
Two D's.
Two D's. Mm-hmm. Two R's and two D's. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it could be Garad.
Yeah.
And that's visible through binoculars, isn't it?
It is. I found it the other night. If you've found comets before, it's fairly apparent. If you have not, you might wonder, where is it? It's a very, very dim little fuzzy ball through 10 by 50 binoculars, which are, pretty normal binoculars. If you, again, go online and just type that name in and also type finder chart, they're all over the place. It will be moving across the sky over the next few months. But, if you've never seen a comet before or never found something through binoculars, it's kind of a neat thing to do. These transient features, the stars are there every night, but comets and sunspots and supernovas, they only happen every once in a while. And an interesting thing about this comet, most comets come through and they get brighter and brighter for a few weeks and then they're gone. This one never really gets that close to the sun. It's pretty big, but it's pretty far away. And what that means is it's not going to get really bright, but it's going to stay in the nighttime sky all the way through the winter. We'll be able to see it. And it'll move, and you'll need to look at those finder charts. And people are taking great photos of it if you were you know, if you had a camera on a telescope and you opened it up for a couple of minutes, then it would be much, much brighter.
I was trying to remember the comet that came so close, maybe 13 years ago.
Well, there was one in 96 called Comet Hyakutake. And it got quite close to the Earth, but it wasn't really a huge one. But it had a tail that spread over half the sky. And then the very next year was Comet Hale-Bopp.
Hale-Bopp.
Which,
that's the one I'm trying to
remember. Right, right. That one was just huge, a huge comet. And you could see that for a few weeks. I remember right in the middle of Minneapolis in the evening sky, you could see it, which is saying something for a comet in the middle of a city where you can barely see any stars.
Yeah, it was fascinating to watch.
Yes.
I spent a lot of time just looking at it. And you could see it pretty easily with...
Oh, yes. I remember showing my very young nieces, look at that, and telling them what it was. And comets, you know, bright ones especially, those are one of those things that I think that spring, many, many people became amateur astronomers.
Yeah.
They looked up and they went, wow, I want to know more.
Our guest today, Paul Kinzer, author of Stargazing Basics, Getting Started in Recreational Astronomy. Join in with your questions or comments. Maybe you have some questions about the night sky at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page. You can post a question or a comment there. We had an email from Monica in Green Bay. I found Star Chart app for iPad is very interesting. You hold your iPad up to the sky, and it tells you what you're looking at, and that really is cool.
It is very cool, and it's pretty cool as an app now. Just 3-4 years ago, a couple of different telescope manufacturers came out with a little handheld device that was its primary purpose, hold it up. Well, you'd pay hundreds of dollars for those, and now... you can just get an app for your phone, hold it up, and boom, there's what you're looking at. Boy, it makes astronomy easy.
It surely does. And lots of callers coming online here. And you're a big advocate, by the way, for amateur astronomy. How'd you get interested in it? Way back.
Huh? I was born. My son doesn't like me doing it, but I was born in the year... or maybe the year before that Kennedy said, we choose to go to the moon. Mm. And I grew up with the space program. And I seriously thought of trying to pursue a career as an astronaut all the way through high school. Turns out I was too tall. That's actually true. Too tall. And that was okay. I didn't have to take any more math after that. But I always loved astronomy. But then in the mid-90s, after I'd kind of drift away from it for a while, I was just looking at the moon and the sky with a spotting scope, you know, mostly for birds, and just randomly aimed it at a bright star, zoomed in on it, and there were Saturn's rings, and I was hooked.
We have callers online. Again, the number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Mary and Madison will turn to you now. Hi, Mary.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'm calling because I have a 2-year-old little boy who is now fascinated with the stars and the moon. And the last week or so, when we go outside, he keeps saying the moon is hiding because we can't find the moon.
Yes, yes.
Where did the moon go?
Well, the moon goes around the Earth, and it takes a month to do so. And there are times when the moon is up at night, but then at other places in its orbit, it's up during the day. And there are other times when where it is, it's a very, very skinny crescent. So if it's up during the day when it's a skinny crescent, you're not going to see it. By this weekend, there will be a crescent moon in the evening sky again, and it will be higher and higher in the sky every night as it gets dark, and it'll be getting bigger and bigger till it's a full moon, and then it will rise later and later, and this happens every month. And, you know, 2 weeks from now, it won't be rising till midnight. So it changes every day.
Okay, because I knew it had to be there somewhere.
It's still there.
Tell him. I don't know where it went. He just says, moon hiding, Mom.
Yeah. Well, that's very observant of him. Yeah.
Very observant. Thanks, Mary.
Thank you so much.
Sure.
Yeah, appreciate it. Appreciate your call. You work with kids a lot, by the way, don't you? You have a business. Talk about that for a minute.
Well, I actually work every day in the Winona Public Schools with kids, but then I also run a small business called Seeing Stars, where I take a portable planetarium, which is a large dome. It's 16 feet across, 10 feet high, and it's held up by air. And I travel to libraries and schools, and I share the night sky during the day. There's a projector inside that projects the nighttime sky onto the dome, and kids get to see the sky.
It sounds wonderful. Nancy in Menasha has a comment or question. Nancy, hello to you.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
You mentioned right at the start of the program about the Northern Lights. And I'm wondering, this next week up in Eagle River, is there any Wisconsin, is there any place that you would recommend to go to get a chance to see the Northern Lights?
Well, first, Northern Lights are almost unpredictable. They might be there, they might not, they might be, you know, they might be over a spot in North Dakota, but not here. What causes them is solar energy hitting our upper atmosphere and causing, it's too hard to go into. It's almost like a fluorescent light or a neon light, excited atoms. There is that sunspot spitting stuff out, but it doesn't necessarily spit out the energy in the direction of the Earth, you know, so it's really hit or miss. But if there are northern lights in the sky, you want to get to the darkest place you can with no lights. Even if that means there's a light on the front of the building you're in, go to the back of the building where you'll be in the darkness. The darker the sky, the better.
Okay.
And you can go online, isn't there an alert for this?
There are different places to go for alerts. A really nice website to go to for a lot of information about what's going on in the sky today, right now, is, I'm blanking right now. One is called heavensabove.com, heavens-above.com, and that will give you a lot of information. Another one is called spaceweather.com, all one word, spaceweather.com. They have a lot of information about solar activity right now.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. And Greg in Sturgeon Bay, we go to you now. Hi, Greg.
Hi there. Just wanted to invite anybody interested in astronomy to come up to Sturgeon Bay, see the lovely Door County Fall Colors, and attend our Astronomy Day. It'll be held at the Cullen Center just outside of Sturgeon Bay. We'll have a nice sun telescope out, taking a look at any activity on the sun, along with having a number of various presentations on astronomy topics.
Oh, and now when is that, Greg?
That'll be this Saturday. Starts at noon. We go till 4. And again, we'll have a couple of telescopes out. We might stay open, do a little bit of night sky watching if we have good weather.
And again, it's in just out at Sturgeon Bay. And where? What facility?
It's called Collins Center.
Collins Center. Okay.
Yeah. Or you can take a look at the website Door Peninsula Astronomy Society. We'll probably have some information on there as well.
All right. Greg, thanks. A comment from you, Paul?
Well, I think that's great. And I always like when I come on, Larry, to remind people that almost anywhere, you can find astronomy. There are astronomy clubs all over the state, always reaching out to the public. And with the internet now, if you go online and just do a little searching for the astronomy club in your area at the local college, least once a month, there's some event going on. My club, the La Crosse Area Astronomical Society, during the warmer months, we do have public telescope viewing once a month, and you can go online and find that information. But I know all over the state that happens.
Yeah. Thanks, Greg, for calling. Appreciate your call. And Jan in Delafield, on to you now. Hi.
Hi. I have a pair of 20x50 binoculars that I've used for some time, and I've been looking for something with a little more power. And I see both Celestron and somebody called Zoomel that I've never heard of offer a 25x100 at a comparable price of around $300. I wonder if you know anything about these.
Well, I do know both those companies, and Celestron was an American company. It's now owned by a Chinese company who might also own Zoomel. There, many of the optics that you'll find for sale are all made in the same factory in Taiwan. So, and that changes all the time, but that's true right now. I have not used either of those pairs. That is a really nice size. You just need to know that you're going to need to get a pretty heavy duty mount to hold those steady. You will not be able to hold those in your hands or even on a basic camera tripod. They'll just be too heavy and unstable. I also Pardon?
I'm sorry. I do have a mount. Is there a particular binocular in that approximate size you do have experience with?
No, and I have to admit why. I do not have depth perception. My eyes do not work in binocular vision, so there wouldn't be a point for me to do it, so I'm not really expert in that. But the one piece of advice I will give is try your best, if you can, to either order them from a company that's very reputable or to look through the pair you're going to buy, because if the two telescopes, which binoculars are just two telescopes, if they're not lined up absolutely perfectly, especially at that magnification, it's just going to give you headaches. So if you can go somewhere and actually look through them before you buy them, or they have a really good return policy, you need
be careful. Those.
Yeah, be careful.
Right. Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, John. Sure. Thank you for calling. Paul Kinzer, our guest today, the author of Stargazing Basic, as we look at that night sky with him. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears-Poisson, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. If you have a question about the stars, I hope you'll join in as we visit with Paul Kinzer. Larry Mueller here. Have some open lines. Get you on pretty quickly at 1-800-642-1234. Email at talk@wpr.org or go to our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You can post a question there. And caller Hannibal from Beloit had a great suggestion. Since the comet Garrod has two R's and two D's, maybe we could give it the nickname R2-D2.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I like that. We had an email from Susan in Menominee Falls. I would suggest that listeners hoping to view northern lights in northern Wisconsin go to either of the landings off Highway J on the Rainbow Flowage. I've watched spectacular displays there several times, and that Rainbow Flowage area there, you would not have a lot of lights.
There you go.
You would not have a lot of lights. Gene in Myra, Wisconsin, we turn to you now. Hi, Gene.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
Well, I belong to Northern Cross Science Foundation, and we have an observatory at Harrington Beach State Park. And we're going to be open this Saturday and Friday and Saturday from 7 till 11.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to invite people out and check out our observatory. And if it's cloudy, it will be open anyway, just for people to come and see it.
Yes, I haven't been there, but I've seen your observatory online, and it looks fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have a 20-inch Newtonian telescope in there. It's homemade.
Mm. I'm very envious.
So give us that once more, Gene. That's at
Harrington Beach State Park. It's just north of Port Washington at the Belgium Lake Church exit. Just go east, and the park is just through Lake Church.
There you go. Thank you, Gene.
Sure, you're welcome.
Appreciate the call. And let's go to Gene in Ashland. Hi, Gene.
Hi. I was wondering if the guest knows where to buy a mobile showing where the planets are in their, I think I've seen where they're in their orbits.
Right.
And especially to demonstrate to little children that the moon does not actually become a tiny sliver.
Right. Those are the word for those are orreries, which is very hard to say. Orreries.
Orreries.
A lot of R's and E's. because I think of computers, those are not as available as they once were. I know you used to be able to get them, but I couldn't swear you still could, from Edmund Scientifics. And if you were able to go online and just look for them. Orion telescopes and binoculars in California used to also sell them. You could try those. Or if you, I don't even know if I could spell orrery, O-R-R-E-R-R-Y, maybe. I'm not sure. But if you did an online search just for that word, you'd probably come on them.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for calling. On to Charlie in Monona. Hi, Charlie.
Hi, how you doing, guys?
Great
show. Thank you. I just want to mention, a month ago, I was out in the Boulder, Colorado area, and was fortunate to hit the day that the NOAA office out there had its tour day, and they did quite a presentation on solar weather, and said the peak of the Northern Lights cycle appears to be coming up, like in the next 3 years,
and the sunspot cycle is starting to ramp up right now. So just wanted to mention that might be a good time to start watching because we might get a peak.
Yes, the sun is going to be more and more interesting for the next few years. And this is a very strange solar cycle, what they call solar minimum, the time when there are the fewest sunspots, lasted longer than it has in 100 years.
Mm.
And nobody knows why. The sun is very complicated. And another big thing coming up in June 5th, the planet Venus will cross the face of the sun. It does that two times, 8 years apart almost to the day, but it only does it every 118, 20 years, something like that.
Okay.
So this is the second one, and it won't happen again for 117 years. So
we probably won't be around to see that.
I plan to stick. Speak for yourself, Larry.
I plan to stick around for
yeah.
that.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks. Charlie. Appreciate your call. And Jonathan in Wauwatosa, we go to you now. Hi, John.
Hello. Question is, why do we on Earth only see one side of the moon? It would seem to me that as the moon goes around, if it was not spinning, we would then see the back side of it. Or if it were spinning at any rate, you'd think that over the course of time, we'd see at least part of the rest of the moon.
Right.
Is it correct that we have not seen anything but the one side since people started looking up?
Right. The moon, because it's so close to the Earth's gravity has locked it. It's called tidal locking. It's locked the moon so that one side of the moon is always pointed at the Earth. This is true of most of the moons actually in the solar system. And what happens is as it goes around the Earth once in its orbit, it also spins around once at the same time. So it does actually spin. The sun shines on all parts of the moon. There is no dark side of the moon. But when it's shining on the other side, that's when we have a new moon and we don't see the moon. It does actually, because its orbit isn't circular and because the Earth isn't perfectly spherical, it does wobble a little bit. So we've seen more than 50%, I don't know exactly how much, 60% or so of the sun or of the moon's face, but that's why it happens.
Great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. And Carolyn in Madison, on to you. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi. Oh, I'm happy to report. A street lighting system that's perfect. Okay, last night I was on Williamson Street in Madison when the street lights went on. Here's what I noticed. Okay, the lights are LED. That's one. They don't shine in second floor windows, even yes. of the houses on the street. I thought that was just so wonderful.
Yes, yes.
They're not so bright that my eyes have to adjust constantly to see, like, the dark places between houses or something. It's soft enough. It's considering my eyesight and how it has to adjust. Anyway, that was exciting. It allowed the stores, it was soft enough so that the store's lighting was highlighted.
Yeah.
And that was so cool. The street looked just beautiful.
Yes.
And one more thing. And I imagine people in the dark second floor windows being able to, in privacy, you know, without being exposed, being able to look out on the street or up in the sky, and just enjoy living there. And it was wonderful.
Yeah.
It's the first street lighting system I've ever seen that I'm so happy about.
Mm. Well, we're trying.
Yes. There is a group, and I regret to say I just got a letter saying that my membership has lapsed. I need to get on the stick here. The International Dark Skies Association, and they've been working for a long time to come up with a model lighting ordinance. And they're working with lighting engineers to do this, to come up with nighttime lighting that makes sense, that does not shine, not only not shine up, but not shine so far out that it actually blinds you rather than allowing you to see. There's a lot going on. with improving light pollution. There are programs now where cities and parks and stuff can apply and get certified as excellent light pollution folks. Yes, there's a lot going on, and I this is one pollution problem that doesn't need to get worse.
Yeah, it doesn't have to.
No.
No. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. I have an email from Tim. From my home in Green Bay by Bay Beach, I see across the waters of Green Bay this red and green flickering fairly low over the horizon in the direction of Capella, according to my Google Sky Map app on my phone. Is Capella red and green? Now, the strange thing I notice when looking from my cottage on Kangaroo Lake by Bailey's Harbor, I see the same thing in the west.
Yes, when stars are near the horizon, the Earth's atmosphere acts sort of like a prism. The closer you look to the horizon, the more atmosphere you're looking through. And if you think about the curved Earth, that makes sense. When you look straight up, there's a lot less air to look through. And the air is moving and is in different densities. So that's why stars twinkle. Now, stars, no matter how much we magnify them, except maybe if you're looking through the Keck in Hawaii, all stars are just points of light. So any movement of the atmosphere is going to make them twinkle. One way often to tell a planet in the sky from a star is planets do show a disk. We can't really see it with our naked eye. They don't typically twinkle because that disk, it's much harder to bend the light all around it. But yes, any bright star near the horizon is going to be different colors, split seconds at a time.
We have Alex in Madison with a question for you. Alex, hello.
Hello, Larry and guest.
Hi.
I lived a few years in Baltimore, and in the neighborhood where I lived, occasionally the street astronomer would come out at night, set up a large telescope, and show anyone interested some celestial thing, and people would, like, give him a dollar.
Oh.
And it was wonderful. And I'm wondering, are there any street astronomers in Madison or in Milwaukee? And I'll listen on the radio.
Well, I wouldn't be able to answer that question. I'm from a from a little tiny town over on the western side of Wisconsin where occasionally the street astronomer, that's me, sets up his telescope in his driveway. And anybody coming by, I say, come and look, and they don't have to pay me a dollar. Again, there are so many groups that do have different events. But it is really nice when right in the middle of town, somebody just comes out on the street. Sidewalk astronomy, if you did a Google search for that, is a very popular thing. Astronomers love it to set up the scopes and share. And there are regularly scheduled ones or more random ones in specific locations all across the country.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you very much for calling. I got an email from Chris in Oak Creek. I have poor vision and see many floaters, which makes it difficult to see clearly through a telescope. Is there any way that a telescope can connect to a laptop so that that's what's being seen through the scope could show up on the laptop screen?
Oh, yes, yes. There are many cameras available now. There are some that will show you a live view. You can actually use just a webcam, the webcam that you might talk to your relatives through. You can attach those to a scope and with free software show what's on there. And then there are, thinking of the name right now, but there are video cameras. A couple of different companies make video eyepieces where you don't even need a laptop. You can just show it on a TV screen too. Now, the issue with these is they'll only show you the brightest things, the moon and the planets typically. Although some now are getting sensitive enough with night vision technology that they can show you some of the other brighter objects. Now, and the views aren't going to be as good as a person with good vision would see through a telescope. But yes, that is a solution.
Cliff in Dubuque, Iowa. We turn to you now. Hi, Cliff.
Great show once again. Hey, what I'm wondering about, coming into Dubuque in the mornings or that, at about 5:30, northwest, about 5 degrees off the horizon, you'll see it. At about 7 o'clock, as soon as the sun comes up over the rim. It's a bright object I'm looking at with the pair of 1250 binos, and it almost looks like the International Space Station, but I went on the Internet and looked at it, and that's moving at, 18,000 miles an hour.
Yeah.
So, and 2 hours later, I'd say it covered half the Earth by then and
right,
stuff.
Right. Yes, the International Space Station, you can just, with your eyes, see the motion. It crosses the whole sky in just a few minutes. Yeah.
But this object, whatever it is, it's got a bright spot on the part of it, on the front end of it, where it'd be towards the sun. Then as it goes off to the tail towards the west of it, you can see three different, you know, light reflections coming off of it.
Is this something you've seen on more than one day?
Yeah, yes, sir.
Is it there every day?
Well, then every day that it's been clear that I've looked up and remembered to look up at it.
Yeah.
Yes,
the only thing I can think that it would have to be a man-made object, and I'm not sure what it would be. If it were in space, as the Earth turned, it would rise and set like the moon. So I can't really help you. I'm not sure.
Maybe
what that
a stationary satellite. That's
well, those would even through the most powerful telescope, you wouldn't be able to see any detail on those.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'll keep looking on
and
see what I can find out, and I'll get the telescope out and get you some pictures.
That'd be great.
That sounds great. Post them on our Facebook page. We'd love to see them. Thanks a lot, Cliff. And let's go to Tim. Tim in Colorado. Hi, Tim.
Howdy. How are you?
Great. Thanks for calling.
Hey, you guys got me. So I just had a call in, I guess. I subscribed in through a reader to something called the NASA Earth Observatory. And a few days ago, they put up an image and an animation of the Southern Lights as taken from a Earth satellite looking down into the Earth's atmosphere.
And was the Earth kind of spinning by?
I'm sorry?
Was the Earth spinning by? Is this like a time-lapse thing? Or
one of them is a still picture, and it just shows a whole smattering of the Southern Lights on the top of the atmosphere of the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is an animation, and it kind of shows the whole thing, including before and after the Southern Lights go on. There's just this, you can see the top of the atmosphere, and there's just this green band at the top of the atmosphere, neon green. And down on the Earth, you can see all these fires that are going on. It's just amazing.
Yes. And actually, it could have been the same animation was the astronomy picture of the day. That's from NASA. Every day, a new image from space. That was the astronomy picture of the day just a couple of days ago. So you can, if you go, just look that up, astronomy picture of the day. And they have an archive, and you can look at their pictures for the last few days. It was amazing. You like you say, you were able to see these Southern Lights. You were also able to see lightning flashing and thunderstorms. And this is a very wide-angle view taken from a camera on the International Space Station as it went from, in its orbit, it just happened to be going across Western North America and then Western South America. And just incredible. And city lights you saw as well.
Yeah, that's very...
I think we're talking about two different things.
Okay.
That sounds spectacular, because this one's about the Southern Lights, and it's going down by Madagascar and Australia.
Okay.
All these fires in Australia right now.
Yep. Yes. Different event, but a very similar type of thing.
Oh, that sounds cool.
It is cool.
Very cool.
Thanks, Tim.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Appreciate your call. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. A caller wanted to share that the Harrington Beach Observatory does outside events, like what was mentioned earlier. Once a month, they'll be at the Bayshore Mall on Friday, October 28th. So they'll be doing something there.
Right. And I know they have a website that does show. I don't know it, but it does show what their events are, their upcoming events are.
And Judith says there are street astronomers in Wisconsin. She did a little search.
All right.
Very good. And we've got some. Oh, man. Again, you can join us at 800-642-1234. You like to get kids interested in astronomy. What kinds of things do you use to get them hooked?
Well, my own belief about kids is you don't need anything to get them hooked on almost anything to do with science. I think humans are curious creatures, and I think that it's especially true when they're children. They're very enthusiastic. But the planetarium, it works very well. But if you can get a kid under a dark sky and you can point to just a few things, just to get them to see it's not just random points up there. We know something about what these things are. A really handy device is a green laser pointer, where if you're out at night and you have one of these, it actually, unlike a red laser pointer that just makes a dot, this makes a beam, and you can point directly at things and show them the Big Dipper. Constellations are a great thing to start with. Show them some of the basic constellations. And then they'll often just start looking on their own. Hundreds, thousands of excellent books out there to get kids into it, too.
We have Tom in Madison next. Tom, hello.
Hi. I wanted to mention I'm a member of the Madison Astronomical Society, and I don't know if anybody's called in yet, but we're having an event called Moon Over Monona on October 7th, and this is over at the Monona Convention Center. So public is welcome to come.
See? See? They're everywhere.
October 7th in what time?
It starts in the evening about 8 o'clock.
Oh, and it's at the Monona Terrace?
Yes, Monona Terrace.
Oh, right on top there.
All right.
Oh, that'll be fun. Thanks, Tom.
Okay, thanks.
Appreciate the call. Joanne in Mequon, on to you. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks for calling.
Yeah, I heard your call looking for mobiles on planets and so forth.
Yes.
Have you ever heard of American Science and Supply?
Ah, there you go. Yes. Is it American Surplus and Supply?
Yes, it is.
Yes,
it is. And that's around 69th and Oklahoma. And if you see what you want, buy it then, because it changes all the time.
Well, and they also have just a fantastic website.
And they have a lot of telescopes.
Yes.
American Surplus and Supply.
I think that's
right.
And if you did a web search for that, you'd find them. They have tons of stuff related to all different branches of science.
Oh, yeah. That's great. Thank you.
You are welcome.
Appreciate it very much. And, boy, Paul, appreciate you being here again.
Sure.
Your business, you should mention that again, because librarians or others might be interested in having you come.
Sure. This next summer, the library theme in Wisconsin is going to be night, and my business is Seeing Stars Portable Planetarium. And if you looked up my name, Paul Kinzer, and Seeing Stars, you'd find me.
Kinzer.
That's right. Yep.
Paul, always a pleasure. Thanks so much. You'll come back again?
Oh, I hope so.
I'd love to have you back.
All right.
Paul Kinzer is the author of Stargazing Basics, Getting Started in Recreational Astronomy. It is a wonderful book, by the way. He is an active member of the La Crosse Area Astronomy Club, and, of course, he's got his own business that he was talking with us about. Great to have him along, and we'll look at the stars with him again sometime down the road. But coming up, we're going to take a look at biofuels and corn, and we're looking toward a sustainable energy future with a couple of guests next here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.